everyone. This is Sasha, sashatalks.com. Thank you for joining me today. For anyone looking for updates, go to sashatalks.com. There have been new links added for articles where I have contributed insights on self-development, business, academia. There are interviews that have been featured recently, and those are some archives that get rated and ranked on monthly basis, and I get alerted. I relink them on the homepage. If you would like to contribute as a guest, you're welcome to send in an inquiry through the contact page. Today's topic, before I get started, keep in mind that all content shared is subject to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. Over the past 14, 15 years, there have been many topics that I have covered. Initially, they were pitched to me from co-collaborators, contributors, and guests that have been featured on different shows that were hosted by Sasha Talks. Not all of the contributors came with the intent to talk about forgiveness. But I found it interesting in the last 2 months, on and off in different spaces that I venture out in and activities that I partake in, from reading, writing. I also read books outside of the genre of my work. I found it to be interesting that over the years, I have come across the theme of forgiveness, not only through the lens of faith, spirituality, self-development, even in business books, I have come across it. Even hearing it from entrepreneurs out there, looking at forgiveness through the lens of medical science, that I found to be intriguing because through spirituality, I was made aware of this over several years ago when there were actual clients that were crossing my radar. They were looking into how forgiveness can improve their lives and the lives of others. And I also have been exposed to people, potential clients that I did not work with because it did not exhibit any signs of being ready. What unforgiveness can do to you? Forgiveness is not a favor that you extend to people. It is giving yourself a pardon from being anchored to a person, a thing, or an event that you perceive that wronged you. I say perceived because a lot of people who are expecting an apology out there is in response to some perceived wrong that happened. I'm talking about in reality, in the physical realm, where there were things that happened that went against the menu that you signed up for, and unfortunate circumstances, actual wrongs that did happen within our society on a personal level or a local level. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It is a decision. It is not a negotiation. It is a decision, ideally, that should come from a place of intention. Because over time, forgiveness is a process. It is not a light switch where you turn it on today and then you go, okay, I've forgiven. And then tomorrow morning, you wake up and you have this dread and that resentment and that anger, potential anger that builds up. And you're reminded of what did you do? You just forgave this situation, that you were the one who was wronged. Forgiveness is not an emotion. I often say emotions are healthy. There's a time and place for it. You have to learn how to regulate them. Emotions are also fleeting. As much as we have authentic, sincere emotions, emotions can be manufactured. They could be manipulated. You could set up an ambiance that could prompt certain outcomes to occur for better or worse. Emotions are a blessing. Because it allows you to accept the joy in your life and celebrate life. On the other hand, emotions can also be a liability if they go unchecked and they're not channeled in a responsible fashion. When it comes to forgiveness, you're not approving the situation that took place. You're not giving permission for it to happen again. You're not giving it a pass that you're okay with it. You're pardoning yourself from that circumstance by reaching a decision that you will not be held hostage to that matter, and it will not impede your growth mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Now, for the sake of time and a reality check, I'm going to focus on matters that are within a healthy parameter of our day-to-day life, the day-to-day menial stuff that it would be in your best interest to let go and forgive. I am aware In the realm of life, we have a lot of things that play out that are of heavy nature, that could be of dark nature. It could be unfortunate tragedies where a person gets killed due to a drunk driver. A natural tragedy occurs, an act of nature against human control. People die in groups, people die in mass tragedies. A parent buries a child, children grow up without parents. There are other types of matters that garner forgiveness. Being cheated out of money, losing business deals. It could be in social relationships, friendships, personal relationships, betrayal. Oh, betrayals probably reaches the top three in the forgiveness list from all of the clients that I have worked with over the years. Betrayals from people that have known you for a long period of time, a short period of time. Forgiveness aligns with people who are acquaintances, friends, family, business, as long as you're dealing with things. Situations, most of them are tied to a person or persons. Think about how many perceived wrongs you have. Some of them may be true positive, and then some of them may be false positive. There are people that I do cross paths with, and everybody has their own individual learning journey. I can't be too diplomatic about it. As long as you are of sound mind and health, we all have a responsibility to start somewhere to begin learning where our light and our darkness resides. And there are some blind spots in all of us where we have to reflect upon what are things that hold us back, including in areas of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a standard matter because one thing is easily forgivable by one individual, and the same matter would be unforgivable or non-negotiable on the list of another person. I'm not saying that just because something happened, you should automatically forgive. I'm not saying yes or no to that. I'm not the morality police, but I am here to share from experience with working with clients, working with collaborators. Being on the receiving end of being a guest, being a host, that out of the blue, all of the conversations I've had, and I've had them in the high four figures to date, even if somebody came to discuss business, had nothing to do with the topic, the concept of forgiveness would organically surface. And it's amazing, and I'm humbled to be on the receiving end of listening to these stories where people have forgiven their parents, they've forgiven someone, a stranger that came into their life and changed their entire family dynamic due to a tragedy. There were two people very early on that I had crossed paths with. One individual I had the pleasure of interviewing him. His name is Mr. Azim Kamisa. You're welcome to look up his name. Azim, Azim. Kamisa, Khamisa. You could also go to azimkamisa.com. He happened to be a father who lost a son, I believe, back in 1995, who got in the way of a botched robbery. His son got in the way of a botched robbery. Tragedy garnered a lot of attention over the years because the father chose to channel the concept of forgiveness over time. Forgiveness is a process. Some matters are very easily forgivable with intention. Some, it takes a while. There's no formula for it. There's no time frame on it. And this gentleman started the Tariq Kamisa Foundation. I believe it is based out of San Diego, California. And to this day, Mr. Kamisa goes around the world and also as a speaker. His work has been featured on many different platforms. He's been recognized for his collaborations with other professionals, for his work out there in the field, connecting with day-to-day civilians like us, educating the top dignitaries in the world on how better education can empower people to make better decisions. So I highly recommend you to look into that story. That is a very powerful story about forgiveness. Now, returning back to those who choose to not forgive, when you start holding on to grudges, you begin reaffirming what went wrong, what needs attention. And when we keep on focusing our mind on what is not going well, what is broken, what is missing, the cup half empty, every time we bring it up, whether it is in our mind, in our heart, whether we relay it to a stranger, You keep on restarting the clock on that misgiving over and over and over again. Forgiving does not have to do with accepting the circumstances. It doesn't have to do with the expectation you need to reconnect with the people that you forgive. Context matters. If it's a family situation, you didn't pick the family, but there are chances, depending on the context, you may cross paths with them. It doesn't mean that you have to engage them. Keep in mind, context matters. When I started out doing live shows and taking live phone calls, I was taken aback with the private messages I would get from people during the show and after the show wanting to know what type of services I provide. It was amazing that those that were wronged, they were seeking solutions. Whether it came through sources of people or things to help them seek vengeance, revenge. These are people who were struggling with forgiveness, whether it came from their personal life, their careers, their home life. And it was pretty clear to me that is not a crowd that I could accommodate, nor did any of them show any willingness to want to learn and grow to understand how to process the perceived hurt in order to move forward. Earlier, I touched upon how forgiveness has been introduced in different genres of life, from faith, spirituality, self-care. Now, it's interesting when you look at it through medicine and science, what grudges can do to the body. According to the Mayo Clinic, this is one of many contributors there. In their words, unforgiveness acts as a biological threat, activating the sympathetic nervous system, putting you in fight or flight state. If you were to pay attention to yourself or those that you may notice that are easily prompted when they are wronged and they automatically are expecting an apology or they cannot overlook the matter. When you start taking on the seeds of unforgiveness and you let it be planted in your heart, in your mind, it is only in a matter of time it gets planted throughout your body, the seeds of unforgiveness. Your body takes on this invisible weight that keeps on expanding, growing, multiplying. It's similar to negative energy expands, multiplies fast. Negative news travels faster than good news. You're building resentment that triggers a drip of cortisol and adrenaline to start circulating through your body. This truly impacts the well-being of people who have high blood pressure. It will increase your blood pressure even more. It will increase your long-term cardiovascular risk. Your immune system drops because when you're holding on grudges and resentment and your body will eventually start fighting itself, it will start suppressing the white blood cells that are also there to help nourish your health. And when you lower your body's defense systems, the chances of infection goes up, the chances of serious illnesses goes up. Your mental health becomes at risk. Your emotional health, and your emotional stability comes in question. Not all of it happens at once, but little things add up. And when you're holding on to grudges day by day, hour by hour, you are rewriting the code in your cells of what you believe, what you stand for, and you're just piling on the emotional baggage, and that emotional baggage sooner or later may translate to physical weight gain. Keep in mind, every body responds differently to these challenges, and their bodies will respond according to what they are programmed with and what they allow to program themselves with. It goes back to what I say. Are you paying attention to what you allow your eyes to see? Granted, you have the gift of sight. Do you pay attention to what you allow your ears to hear? Hearing is done through the ears. Listening is done with the heart. That was something very wise shared with me by a guest years ago. What do you allow yourself to feel? You're bringing yourself to certain environments out there the moment you leave your home. And if you don't leave your home, What are you surrounding your day-to-day ambiance with? Are there things that remind you of reaffirming the grudges in your life? Sometimes it's not things that you look at. It could be people that you keep on reaffirming your day-to-day challenges about. So when you come together, you just resume from where you left off. You're not punishing the person who wronged you by holding back that apology because they might, one, not even know that you were offended and that they owe you an apology. They've moved on with their life. You're standing back, you're holding yourself back. And 10 years is a long period of time if you are going to be holding on grudges. On the flip side, 10 years go by in a blink. If you're doing the best that you can in your life, there'll be an ebb and flow playing out, but you are moving along. No one is holding you back from your progress. That's why I always ask people, forgiveness is a process. It could help you feel your progress. Or it could hold you in place, and no one can make that decision for you. The top three bodily functions that get impacted, and this is courtesy of the Mayo Clinic. This is in the context of forgiveness. There are many studies done, and each study highlights different circumstances. The heart health, the kidney health, people with stomach problems, how your brain and your gut are interconnected, and how your emotional health and emotional stress does play a part in the inflammation in the gut and can potentially trigger digestive issues. Not every matter that plays out in your body is tied to unforgiveness. I have to clarify that. Keep the context of the overall message in mind. From a neurological standpoint, it's interesting because those who are more open to forgiving and they partake in forgiveness activities, it helps their prefrontal cortex with emotional regulation. I've given a talk on that one in the last year, year and a half. Empathy, making better decisions with intention, being present. And when you are partaking in these activities, you are also releasing any dormant stress and alleviating the fight or flight response when it comes to hardening yourself from being held anchored to something that happened at a moment in time. And you don't want to be carrying that in a luggage over and over and over again. Keep in mind, I'm talking about day-to-day realities. I know that when you are working through cases of betrayal, someone passing prematurely due to events outside of your control, a form of tragedy. You might need to forgive possibly a material loss. It's not all human losses. Here's the big one, and I thought it was fascinating when the question was sent in. What happens if I can't forgive someone? It's pretty clear that forgiveness can be hard, and admitting something that you have done to possibly hurt someone. It does require you to take a look in the mirror. Some people can easily walk up to someone and ask for forgiveness. And then there are those who are more channeled from a place of ego. They may not be able to do that, but they're still dealing with the ramifications of having to forgive themselves because they know how they have played a part in circumstances that have possibly complicated life, complicated relationships. Possibly done harm, irreversible harm. So things and people cannot be restored. I'm not saying forgiveness is a walk in the park. Think about the times when you have been forgiven without even having to ask to be forgiven, but it was very clearly understood that forgiveness could build a bridge. You don't have to cross a bridge afterwards, but it could build a bridge. Maybe you need a better forms of expression to understand what is going on with you. That could be done through writing a letter. You don't have to send out the letter to the recipient. Journaling, practicing varying degrees of mindfulness. Some people resort to meditation. Another person might just resort to a walk. Everyone is different, but in order to recognize a part that we may play has to do with slowing down a bit. And I am aware many people cannot sit alone with themselves. They are constantly bombarded with noises, people, activities, filling up their calendars to the point where even the calendar is ready to explode. allowing life to get in the way to the point where you don't need to deal with the challenge at hand. Comes to expression, it might just come down to talking to a objective source. They might be wise, they might be compassionate. For some people, it might be a spiritual leader. Another person might be a mentor. It might be a professional, a family, a friend. There are resources available out there for anyone that is navigating serious matters when it comes to forgiveness. There are those who want to forgive, but they can't find themselves to forgive, or they don't know how do I start or what do I do. They're asking good questions, and there are professionals out there that could help them. There are many nonprofits and toll-free numbers available. If you were to look it up and call, and you will be guided. So anyone who may think, in order to do this, in order to partake in it, I need to have material resources and money. No, forgiveness does not require money. Forgiveness does require a decision from you. Hopefully that is intentional. It is authentic, because when you make that decision to let go, and it might not happen the first time you forgive the situation, it might take two, three tries, depending on what it is. But when you really let go, from experience, I'll tell you, it does not bump heads with you again. You don't wake up a few mornings later being reminded of that circumstance. You're not going about living your life, and a few years down the road, you're zapped by that, where you're going, why did you forgive? When you really forgive, it says you are detoxing yourself of some perceived poison that you just want to cling on to, thinking you're punishing the person or the group of people or the thing, where you are giving them the permission to be forgiving. You need to give yourself permission to forgive. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. It might be a supplement, but it's not for the other person. And I will tell you from experience, living life, navigating business, navigating relationships, meeting different types of people, including strangers, I'll tell you, those that make it an intention to remain lighthearted, literally lighthearted from the inside out. It shows in how they move through life. It shows how their inner glow, their inner peace shines, how they speak, how they conduct themselves, how they behave. And it is not posturing. It is not putting up an act. There is a lightheartedness that comes, but that lightheartedness comes at the price of making those tough decisions, that you are not going to let life get in your way. And it is a process. It's not for everybody where you're going to wake up the next morning and you'll be ready to work on it. For some people, they might warm up to the idea. Warming up to the idea is better than being very adamant against it. No one is denying you that whether you were hurt or not by what happened. When you look at it from a faith perspective, there are faith could be between religion. I look at religion is between man and man. Faith is between man and their creator. Most people of faith have learned, whether it was in their childhood, Sunday school, or any other environment that could be from your teachers, your guardians, your family, that forgiveness is a virtue. It is a healthy cornerstone of your can be, of your identity, your spirituality. And I find it interesting that when it comes to the Abrahamic faiths in the world, including Christianity, it's not as forgive if you feel like it. It's a commandment. It's mandated to forgive. And I do believe that forgiveness does accompany as some of us grow with emotional and spiritual maturity. I view forgiveness as part of good spirituality, spiritual hygiene in a sense of doing your best to manage your mind, your heart, your spirit, and your body before you let these grudges turn into these heavy rocks inside you, and you're walking around every day, metaphorically through life, and not recognizing how much weight you're carrying. This is the type of weight which is not healthy in the long run, because sooner or later it starts to show in how we speak of life, how we communicate with people, how we treat them, how we make decisions, how we take actions. And it could sneak up on you how it can impact your beliefs for the worse. If you view matters that deem forgiveness a bit like a cloud, and knowing that the cloud will pass once you align with recognizing what needs attention, why, and recognizing that this is for your benefit. And when I say your benefit, it's not a selfish deed, because if you are blessed to continue living, a lot happens in one day. Multiply it by all the days in the year, multiply it by the years. That is a lot to carry in your bag. Here's an interesting observation I've made. When people struggle with any matters that deem forgiveness, and they're putting their life on hold until it is sorted because they're waiting for someone or something to happen. When this happens, then I will proceed. You have to work off the premise it will not happen. Not because it's coming from a place of negativity, but if you have no expectations, you'll be better off. Because if you allow forgiveness, the lack of forgiveness, to grow within you, it becomes a barrier. It becomes a screen that blocks what you see through your eyes, what you hear through your ears, what you allow your heart to feel. You start developing this invisible wall, a buffer between you and life. And the one thing you will not ever get back, or none of us get back, is the passing of time. Therefore, when you forgive, you're surrendering your desire for revenge. You're trusting the universe to sort it out on your behalf. You might not get to see that perceived justice. Some cases you do, some cases you do not. When there are people who are new to spirituality, I've also observed they have a lot of questions. Questions are a good thing. At the same time, you cannot let the questions dominate and dictate the pace of your living. Because some people are going to want every answer to that question in order for them to proceed forward. And the thing about life is that not all answers come in one time and place. Some answers may not ever come over the course of your lifetime. But to trust that if you are meant to know, it will reveal itself. You still have to make an effort with your spiritual hygiene. That's where I personally believe that forgiveness can fall in that lane. Now, when it comes to self-care, you want to make sure you keep your heart light. That's one thing I was taught since childhood. My mom always encouraged me to be light-hearted and not to let the world harden my heart, no matter how bad things get. And yes, I've had a roller coaster ride of events that I've lived through, but that is one thing I do my best to manage. Because the moment you forego forgiveness, you're giving up the control of your life story, your narrative. The people that you perceive that need to be forgiven have already moved on. There's a 90, 95% chance, if not more, they're not even thinking about you or your circumstances. Forgiveness has to do with taking back your power. When you hold a grudge, the person who hurts you controls your mind, your day, and ultimately your health. This reminds me of the concept of mental contracts. It was back in almost 19 years ago, I was working in an environment where there would be speakers who would be hired to give talks on professional and self-development. And one of the speakers gave a talk on mental contracts. And that is something I've touched upon in my writings as well, where we human beings fail to communicate with one another, regardless of what type of environment we're in, whether it's professional, social, friendship, business partnerships, personal relationships, family, friends. If you have expectations, communicate it. If you have certain standards or negotiables or non-negotiables, depending on the context of your interaction and communication, communicate it. Don't assume the other person mentally knows what you need and what you want. And don't assume just because you had to communicate it once, that you may not have to communicate it later in time. And keep in mind, in healthy relationships, this goes both ways. It is reciprocal. When people do not communicate what they need and want, that starts harboring an area for resentment. Breaking down the self-care for forgiveness, it will come down to what I said earlier. It is a decision. You have to be intentional with it, that you are willing to give up this desire for revenge, retaliating. And that you are giving yourself permission to flow with life, not to flow against life. And emotionally, you're giving yourself permission to replace these negative emotions with positive ones. And if they're not positive, at a minimum, neutral emotions. And here's the most important thing. When people forgive, some of them hold back from making that decision because they think if I forgive, then I have to reconnect with that individual. Some of these forgiveness situations are not sorted out by meeting with the actual person or a third party, but forgiveness could be in your mind. Forgiveness can be in your heart. And even if you were to connect with the individual, it does not mean that you are reconciling with them and you are resuming your relationship from where it left off. Depending on the situation and your individual free will, there is no expectation to resume in some cases. But once you do forgive, it is important that you manage your boundaries because you have to enforce your decision. What is different from the day that you forgave? Overall, I leave you with the questions, no matter where you are listening in different parts of the world. What is the most hardest thing that you had to forgive? What did that experience feel like? Was it a long journey for you? Was it something that you immediately did because it is a part of your belief system, whether it could be your faith, your family values? And I will leave you with a quote by Lewis B. Smedes. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. If you have any testimonies you would like to share or any questions, you are welcome to go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, be good, be safe, be blessed.